Studios, the All Arizona Daily Download, the top five local stories of the day. Number five.
Did the White House deceive Senator McSally?
Kind of seems that way. The Pentagon sent a 20-page list of military construction projects. Six of them are in Arizona. You'll remember last week, Senator McSally.
You broadly said those FY19 projects across all the country will not be impacted by this, just to be clear. Yeah. Correct, Mr. Secretary?
That is correct.
So fiscal year 19 projects in Arizona are safe, right? Well, if that's the case, how come five projects at four locations in Arizona are listed for potential cuts in fiscal year 2019?
Okay, so this is where I'm going to play lawyer for a minute. If you go back and play that clip again, if you pay attention to the words that were used, she's talking about particular projects. He's agreeing, but there are so many other projects, things that involve different planes, the F-35s, you know, different things like that. So play that clip again.
You broadly said those FY19 projects across all the country will not be impacted by this, just to be clear. Yeah. Correct, Mr. Secretary?
That is correct.
Fiscal year 19 projects will not be affected. That's not what they're saying here in this report.
So, you know, you have to look at it. We know that politicians, we know heads of departments often, you know, mince words, but they also mean certain things that they're saying. And bottom line, people change. I mean, the government has to change.
This was a week ago, though. This wasn't like 2 years ago.
When we're dealing with Trump, things just change all the time.
Mac and Gatos. The number four local story on the All Arizona Daily Download.
Arizonans love to laugh.
Apparently so. Arizona is number one in the nation. I mean, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel with what we're good at here. Arizona ranked first in a top 10 list of states whose residents report laughing at least 10 times a day.
Hey, at least we've got that going for us, because so often we talk about Arizona being on the worst end of these top lists. So I'm kind of excited about this. I think it's funny.
Kill me now.
Yeah, Janice from Friends. She liked the laugh.
But what if we're laughing at, you know, like out of amazement or dismay or hopelessness?
Oh,
but
we like
still
to laugh.
Laughing.
Well,
we're
yeah,
still
but,
laughing. It says that laughter helps us relax and even sleep better. We all know that. Just a few minutes of laughter can reduce stress and blood pressure and boost our immune systems.
You ready for a joke?
Okay.
What does a cactus wear to a business meeting?
I don't know.
A cacti!
But apparently kiddos laugh more at their moms than their dads. Because moms are funnier.
But is it laugh because they think mom is funny, or are they laughing at mom? Is it with mom or at mom?
They're laughing at mom because she's funnier, but also because they don't want mom to get mad.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think if this is what Arizona is best at, we've got issues.
Hey, but we've got something.
Number three.
We also have Circle K's on E.
Yeah, at least five Circle K's around the valley. They're saying it's the perfect storm of unforeseen circumstances, refinery supply source issues, isolated issues with the pipeline, and ethanol distribution, along with the switch from, you know, winter blend to summer blend, which has caused the five stations around the valley, a couple stations down in Tucson, to run out of fuel.
And let's emphasize, this is Circle K, so it's not every gas station that's out there.
Well, and it's not every Circle K either.
Right.
It's a couple.
So we don't need to start panicking or freaking out like we did, what was it, back in the summer of 2003?
Yeah.
I think it was,
yeah,
when gas went over $4 a gallon and there were long lines. You couldn't find gas anywhere. So we are nowhere near that, thankfully.
But maybe tomorrow we will be. No,
Don't say that.
No, it's going to be okay.
It's mass hysteria.
No, and I see this, and it's like I drove by a bunch of Circle K's today. They had gas. This is fine. They're saying it's going to take a few days for these specific stations to fix the issues. But it's not like, you know, half the gas stations in Maricopa County aren't going to have gas. And like you said, there's going to be a half-hour, hour-long line, or A through M can only get gas on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yeah. It's not going to be like that.
But you know what? You might want to go ahead and swing by and get some gas tonight, just in case, you know, be safe.
Mac and Gatos, the number two local story on the All Arizona Daily Download.
She's over the hill.
Phoenix Zoo is going to hold a 40th birthday party for Bess, the orangutan.
Oh, you know what that means on the show, right? Do you know? Do you know what this?
I don't.
It's time for the happy birthday song.
Is this you? Did you play the kazoo?
Come on, it's birthday kazoo.
That's terrible, Joe.
Happy birthday to Bess, the orangutan.
Okay, all right. I don't know what's worse, Becky Lynn. Joe singing happy birthday or the kazoo?
Together, they're a perfect storm.
Ooh, nice.
Would you maybe like a report about Bess?
Okay, go ahead.
Apparently, we let the intern loose on pulling the audio today.
Apparently.
And that's what they came up with. We get celebration time. I mean, it says Phoenix Zoo celebrates, and instead we just get celebration time.
Is there cake?
Oh, there might be.
Well, it's not a celebration without
patrons
cake.
Were asked to bring in gifts for Bess, like chalk, paint, blocks, and low-sodium spices. Who doesn't love a good low-sodium spice?
Bess, who is a Bornean orangutan and mother of two, she's 40 years old, she's shy, sensitive, and adept at solving problems and puzzles. So you can go down there Saturday, Sunday, 9 to 5 to celebrate.
Number one.
Will Phoenix help migrants released by ICE?
All right, so we know that over the weekend, immigration officials dropped off a lot of legally processed migrants in Phoenix. This is according to volunteer groups who basically had to pick up the slack and help these migrants try to find some place to go, find food, transportation, and get to their sponsor, since they have 10 days once they're released from processing to get to their sponsors or get to where they need to go. The problem is the volunteer organizations and groups and facilities are at their max, so they're asking the city of Phoenix to help. But Joe, it doesn't look like there's going to be any help there.
No, Phoenix's interim mayor, Thelda Williams, said in an interview that she's sympathetic, but she's not sure how the city can get involved. Phoenix Police Chief Jerry Williams basically said, hey, we need ICE to give us a heads up so that we can make sure that we have police down at the Greyhound bus station when, you know, a couple hundred migrants are going to be dropped off down there. That's how ICE could help Phoenix, and then Phoenix could help these migrants.
And, you know, we just found out that another 150 were just dropped off today. So we've got a lot this weekend. We've got more today, 150 today. Chances are that ICE didn't give any advance notice today either. So we've just got this situation that nobody knows how to handle or deal with completely. But it doesn't look like there's any cooperation going on.
The All Arizona Daily Download. The top five local stories of the day with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Okay, that's why we kicked the intern out. The All Arizona Daily Download is brought to you by Inspire Sleep. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire, a revolutionary treatment for sleep apnea. No mask, no hose, no noise. Visit InspireSleep.com today.
An Arizona woman can get pregnant with her ex's baby without his involvement.
Oh, we'll, you know, explain what she's saying.
Get someone get Joe away from the buttons.
She's celebrating.
Yeah. We'll explain in just a minute.
Drive home informed and entertained. Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
She's Monica Lindstrom, KTAR and Mac and Gatos legal expert. I'm Joe Huizenga. Sometimes I'm Lloyd Banks. You know, just flip a coin. I could be one day, one the other day.
Multiple personalities.
We're not Mac and Gatos, but we do play a role in their podcast. And if you haven't subscribed, you're missing out. So subscribe right now with your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Mac and Gatos podcast, brought to you this week by Stampede Plumbing.
So the Arizona Court of Appeals issued a decision, and it says that a Phoenix woman can go ahead and try to get pregnant using the fertilized embryos that she had with her ex, even though he doesn't agree. And this is a really big decision. So let's back up for a minute. So we had the mom and the dad. I'm going to just use mom and dad for right now. Mm-hmm. They were dating and they signed a contract and they decided that since she was going to be under chemotherapy for cancer treatment,
right,
that they would go ahead and harvest her embryos and go ahead and fertilize them with his sperm and keep them frozen or keep them, you know, safe so that later on down the road, if they so choose, she could go ahead and use them to get pregnant.
Now, this was back in 2014. Mm-hmm. When they made that agreement.
And they were dating.
They were dating then, and they agreed to preserve her embryos so she could get pregnant if she survived cancer. Now, they ended up subsequently getting married and later divorcing.
Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to go ahead and take those embryos and get pregnant with them.
Mm-hmm.
He did not want her to because they were divorced, and for whatever reason, he didn't want to.
And a court said at the time that the embryos would have to be donated to a third party.
And I remember that decision came down and I thought that was a horrible decision. So the judge in the superior court level, which is, you know, the first level, she said, no, you can't have a mom and dad doesn't want them. So we just need to go ahead and donate them to a third party,
mm-hmm.
which I was just beside myself with that decision because it was such a bad decision.
Now, an appeals court overturned that ruling,
mm-hmm.
and a new ruling was handed down on March 14th that said what?
That said that she can use those embryos to get pregnant even if the dad doesn't want her to.
And dad could be responsible for support.
Yes.
Even if he, again, doesn't want her to do this.
Now, it might seem weird, but the court said the reason why they made that decision was when the two made a contract, when they signed an agreement to fertilize the embryos and keep them safe, they said the couple agreed to preserve the embryos to protect the mom's fertility, not necessarily to have children together in the future. So in other words, when he signed the agreement, it was about being able to allow mom to have babies in the future, whether he wanted to or not.
Mm-hmm.
So they based their decision on the specific facts in this case, as opposed to making an all-out rule. So it's possible that this wouldn't happen to two other people in a similar situation.
The way I look at this, and I mean, you're a lawyer, you're far smarter than I am when it comes to legal matters for sure, so you can tell me why I'm wrong, but why couldn't the court have said, mom, if you want to, you know, preserve these embryos, have kids down the line, you can do it, but you have to sign something that says your ex cannot be responsible and will not be on the hook for child support.
You know,
that seems like a good way to kind of split the difference here.
And the only thing I can think of is maybe that wasn't an issue that was in front of the Court of Appeals. One thing about a Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court is they're only allowed to look at the issues that are actually in front of them. They can't try to solve all the other tangential things that might come up or mm-hmm. consequential things. It's just the issue in front of them. So it may have been just the issue of whether she could use them to get pregnant or not, not dealing with anything else. So that's what I think could have happened. But this case not only had this result, Arizona legislators took up the debate last year, and they actually passed a law that came from this case.
Right.
And it said, state law now requires that viable embryos from a divorced couple be awarded to the parent who will allow a child to be born.
But it also says that the other parent has no rights or obligations.
Yeah.
Which is very important to me because the judge, there were three mm-hmm. judges who ruled on this case in the appeal, and the judge who disagreed with the two who gave the go-ahead said something that I think is very important. That judge said, do contracts matter? I believe they do. Essentially saying, hey, this guy here said no, mm-hmm. he didn't want to do this. We're now telling him that he has to, right?
Because the agreement that they came up with, they signed it at a fertility clinic. It says that in the case of divorce or separation, the embryos cannot be used except without express written consent.
Yeah.
So now we have the court saying, no, you can go ahead and do this, even though he doesn't want you to.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge that didn't agree said, hey, like you pointed out, Joe, well, what good is a contract? Now, you might be wondering, well, if the legislators passed a law that said that the parent that doesn't want to have the baby doesn't have to pay for it, why doesn't that happen in this case? And it's just because the case started before that law was passed. So it's kind of sad.
So if you're this guy, what do you do at this point? Is there any way that you can convince your ex-wife or get her to sign something that will not make you on the hook if she goes through with having a child with, you know, that was yours?
Yeah, you can try. First of all, he can try to appeal to the Supreme Court because this was a court of appeals case. So there's one more layer, one more level. He could do that, or he could talk to her and they could come up with some kind of agreement where he gives up any and all rights he might have to the child, any parental rights. The problem is even if he gives up all rights and doesn't take care of the baby financially, if the mom ends up having to use state care, like access or welfare or food stamps or something like that to help with the baby, the state can turn around, I believe, and go back after him for reimbursement. So it's a different situation, but it's one that's coming up more and more with people using fertility clinics and artificial insemination.
We touched on it in the All Arizona Daily Download. 150 more migrants dropped off at the Phoenix Greyhound bus station today. KTAR News reporter Peter Seymour talked with the Phoenix field officer for ICE yesterday. We'll find out how many migrants are currently in ICE custody here in the Valley and what options do they have once they're released. That's next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Monica Lindstrom, I'm Joe Huizenga. We're in from Mac and Gatos today. And during the All Arizona Daily Download, Monica let you know that 150 more migrants were dropped off at the Greyhound bus station today, about 300 this past weekend. And we got news last week that it's almost 15,000 since the end of December. KTAR News reporter Peter Seymour joins us. He met with Henry Lucero, the Phoenix field officer for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement yesterday. What was your biggest takeaway, Peter? I know you had a lot of time with him.
I did. I had 30 minutes with him. And I mean, there's so many things. From no one is responsible for the migrants once they're released. You know, and how the churches and nonprofits are really struggling right now. But, you know, even one big takeaway that really stood out in my mind is that the migrants keep getting dropped off at these bus shelters, and Greyhound has said, don't bring them here, don't bring them here. Well, basically, the director, Henry Lucero, was telling me, we give them three options, these migrants. One, a bus station in hopes that they'll have a ticket to go somewhere, anywhere in the state or throughout the U.S. And, of course, Greyhound has said, if you don't have a ticket, you're not allowed inside the station or inside the building. The other is a shelter. Those are over capacity, and now the charities are saying, and the non-government organizations are saying, non-governmental organizations, NGOs, sorry, are they're all saying, we can't take them either. We're out of room, we're out of resources, out of money, we can't do it. Or the third is, they can just walk away. So once they open the gates at the detention centers, they're free to go. So that really struck me as surprising, because it's getting hotter outside. It's getting a lot warmer, and I just talked to my colleague, Nayle Leon. She was at a drop-off today at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, and she said some of them, of the migrants, looked really sick. They looked ill. Probably they shouldn't just be allowed to go anywhere, and then those are the three options. That's all they get from ICE at this point.
So when you were speaking to Lucero, did he give any suggestions or possibilities as to how this process can be remedied or fixed or helped or anything at all? Did he have any suggestions?
The only suggestion he gave me was that Congress changed the law to allow longer detentions for these migrants. He looks at it this way. One, more time for his agents to process them, to weed out any criminals that might be among them, although he is saying that, you know, our agents are doing a great job. We're catching the ones who have criminal histories in their home countries or criminal histories in this country if they're trying to get back into it. But then, of course, we don't have a crystal ball to know who is going to come into this country. They might have had clean lives criminally speaking, up until now, but then they do something criminal here in the United States. But he also said that it could be a deterrent. So right now, 98% of migrants crossing the border after being processed at the Border Patrol, ICE detention centers, and so forth, once they're processed and they claim asylum, they've got a 98% chance, as he put it, to just come into the country and do whatever they want. They're on the honor system, basically. If they can come in and live cleanly, make their appearances in the courts for asylum, they could pretty much just stay here after a 20-day detention. He says if the detentions are stretched out, made longer, I guess a month or two, maybe more, but I don't think it can go any further than that, then maybe it would be a sign or a signal to the migrants in the Central American countries, okay, you're going to be in a holding cell for about, you know, 2 to 3 months when you first get to the United States. Do you really want to go at this point? My guess is that some migrants will still say, yeah, it's worth it. I can wait a little longer. That's fine. And then, of course, we have to ask the question, are there the resources, the money available to house these migrants even longer than the 20 days?
Yeah, you talked about processing. What did Lucero say about how long, if anything, about how long it takes to process one person? Are we talking a matter of minutes? Are we talking a couple of days? How does that work?
It could be any one of those things. It just depends on how many migrants they get coming in. And the basically Arizona is receiving 300 a day crossing the border here.
Well, are we talking, you know, do they just ask them their name and look them up in the system and then they're done? Or is it, you know, longer than that?
It's a little bit longer than that, because then they have to get a court appearance or scheduled. And of course, there's just the backlog. So it takes days just to get to that point of give me your name, give me your fingerprints. They just don't have the capacity, Lucero was saying, to work any faster than they have. And again, to try to screen them for anything in their past, it takes longer than that. I mean, when we go through criminal background checks, it takes longer than that. But they have a matter of 20 days. And if they don't get that, then they're free to go after that time. And basically, in that holding period time, they can make an asylum declaration, but then they have up to 1 year to do it. So they could take their time, these migrants, and still just be able to walk into the country, and maybe that changes their things. And then they get ankle monitors and...
Wait a minute. All of them that are released have ankle monitors?
Well, that's what he was telling me, or at least one person per family. So if there's a family coming over, then one of them gets the mother or the father or one of the adults gets an ankle monitor. And of course, they could be cut if the migrant happens to be dishonest. Lucero didn't seem to say that all of them are. Some do keep them and some don't, just like, you know, regular people in this country. And then they're, you know, they're on the honor system. You know, they could have an asylum hearing in a year from now, hopefully less than that, in a court, and we sort of go from there.
Talking with KTAR News reporter Peter Seymour. She's Monica Lindstrom. I'm Joe Huizenga. Peter, you mentioned that the ICE director was an advocate for possibly holding migrants longer, and that, you know, if you go from 20 days to potentially 50 or 80, that he thinks that could make the system better. But if the system is already overwhelmed, how would holding migrants longer? I know he stressed it could be a deterrent, but if the system's overwhelmed, how would he take on that burden?
That's a good question. And we always think of these questions after we leave the room and to follow up, but that's probably something for the next time we meet with him. He's only thinking of in terms of security. He's thinking in terms of, you know, okay, if I also have the detainees longer in these cells, then my agents can go and bust the criminals amongst the migrants who are out of the detention systems, instead of, you know, having them, you know, come to the offices to do processing.
Because how many are in custody now? We're not talking about like a couple dozen.
4,100.
Yeah,
is the number he gave me.
Yeah, 4,100 migrants already in custody. So I'm just guessing if you push that number out an additional 30 days, it's not just going to be 4,100. It would be 8,000, 10,000?
It could grow for sure. And I asked him, are more immigration judges are on the way? And he said that's a question for the Department of Justice because they have to send the judges. So it's not just his agency. It's getting the other federal agencies to cooperate. And you know how slow the federal government moves.
And then one last one for me. You mentioned that the migrants are given three options by ICE, essentially just walk away on their own, go to a shelter or the Greyhound bus station. Did he have any sense for why they're picking the Greyhound bus station? Because obviously Greyhound doesn't simply let them inside there. They get dropped off there, and then if they, you know, get a ticket from a volunteer or somebody who shows up there to help them, they can continue on their journey to, you know, wherever it is they're going. Why are they picking the Greyhound bus station?
I think they're just picking transportation hubs in general because today, for example, the 150 migrants that came here, they were dropped off at a place near Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. The reason they're coming to Phoenix also from wherever they've been in Arizona is because of all the transportation options. That's how Lucero explained it to me. You know, maybe they can get an airline ticket. Doubtful. Maybe they can get a bus ticket or somebody to, you know, donate for them, and then they can go on their way. Another stat that Lucero gave me, 95% of the migrants that have been coming since December, he says, don't stay in Arizona. They go to California. They can go to Texas, even the East Coast. They go wherever they might have some family, some friends, or job opportunities.
So we've talked a lot and asked a lot of questions about migrants and what they have to go through and what the process is. On a total different side here, the workers at ICE, those ones that do all the processing, that meet with the migrants, did Lucero tell you anything about how they're feeling or what the morale is or if they're stressed or if there's enough people there to get through this? Did he give any insight as to the people that have to deal with this day in and day out?
He gave me a stiff upper lip. He basically said, you know, we're going to do the very best we can, but we're just overwhelmed. We're tired. We're stretched thin. This is not getting any better, especially since, you know, the migrants know the system here in the United States. They know exactly what they have to do when they get to Border Patrol. Just put their hands up and say, you know, we want asylum or we want just to come in. Come arrest us. Come get us. Start the process. I mean, you know, Border Patrol, separate from ICE, has become the welcoming committee into the United States.
Yeah.
KTAR News reporter Peter Seymour, thank you so much, Peter.
Good to be with you both. Thank you.
Diet drinks, they might keep you skinnier. A lot of people out there like them, but they could kill you quicker, too. Monica and I will explain next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos, 2 to 6 p.m. on KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Drive home informed and entertained. Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
She's Monica Lindstrom. I'm Joe Huizenga. We're in for Mac and Gatos. I don't drink diet soda, so I don't have to worry about heart disease, stroke, or early death. Monica, how much of this toxic drink do you pour into your body?
You know, I drink sodas every once in a while, usually when I have pizza or, I don't know, want a caffeine fix real quick and there's only the soda machine. But I can say I never drink diet soda.
Why?
Because first of all, I don't like the taste. But mm-hmm. Second of all, it's what I tell my kids, chemical crap. Sodas are not good for you anyway. But then when you get the artificial sweeteners mm-hmm. and the chemicals in there, it just makes it worse. And my kids who are 10 and 7, they drink Sprite when we go out to restaurants. They like that a lot. They like root beer. But my 10-year-old now likes Coke because he tried it at summer camp. Mm. And some of his friends had a diet for some reason. So he thought the Diet Coke was better. And I said, honey, if you are going to drink a Coke, then you darn well better drink a regular Coke, because I don't want all that artificial sweetener. I don't even want you getting a taste for it. Just stay away from it.
There's a 2018 consumer survey out there that says more than half of all Americans between the age of 18 and 49 have drank at least one Diet Coke at some point in the last month.
Oh, wow.
More than half in the last month. And
diet. I mean, mm-hmm. soda, yeah, I can see, but diet.
Epidemiologists are studying the effects of all this. And one of their studies, they found that in postmenopausal women, drinking two or more of these beverages a day was linked to an earlier risk of stroke, heart disease, and early death.
Now, the study goes on to report that it's not saying the diet sodas or the artificial sweeteners in there cause the stroke or the heart disease or early death, but they do something that makes the women, people in general, more susceptible to those particular diseases.
Well, and you and I read the stories all the time. It'll be, you know, 116-year-old man smoked a pack of cigarettes
right.
a day.
Ate a pound of butter a week.
Uh-huh. So
yeah.
People can always defy the odds. But in general, doctors are coming out and saying that, hey, you may want to, you know, really be careful with the amount of the artificial sweeteners that you're putting in your body and, choose wisely.
And it's not just the sodas. There's artificial sweeteners in everything. It's just that, you know, soda is typically connected. Diet soda is typically connected with those.
I love ice cream.
Uh-huh.
A big one I've noticed lately is that, you know, there's ice creams that now don't put sugar into their mix.
Well, what do they put in there then?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And it's a lot of the, you know, glitzy, you know, kind of souped up. Well, you can get a pint of it and it's like $6 at the grocery store. It's a lot of those ice creams that are, hey, you know, there's less fat in here. You know, there's like 1 gram of fat in the whole pint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how exactly are you doing that? I did a little bit of reading off the back of the package. I'm like, what the heck is that? I don't know what that is.
Do you remember the Breyers commercials? I think it was Breyers and Dryers. And it was basically, if you can't pronounce the ingredient, you should not be putting it in your body. And when it comes to ice cream and a lot of other things, I follow that rule, and mm-hmm. I teach my kids that rule. I say, if you can't pronounce it, chances are it's chemical crap. And I'm trying to instill that in them now, so they're just a little bit more mindful about what they're eating and what they're doing.
And
I'm not like a granola where you can only eat all organic, but I try to stay away from some of this stuff.
You can probably tell the difference from your body to mine based on the philosophy, whereas I would say, hey, eat what you want, but just understand that there's risks with it and try to do it in some degree of moderation.
How about no artificial sweeteners and high fructose corn syrup?
I just don't like pop in general, but I'm,
you're from the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
me too.
If you want to drink that stuff, I say, fine, go for it. But just understand you're making that choice. And, you know, if you really like the taste of it now, just understand it could affect you down the road.
And, you know, this is nothing new that artificial sweeteners and diet sodas cause health problems. And people, namely one of my good friends out there, just because you drink ice in your soda doesn't mean that you're getting enough water in a day. Just wanted to point that out there. When it comes to the college admissions cheating scandal, how much did the students know and how should they be punished? We'll get into that next.